Hey there, thank you for listening to the teaching ministries of Plymouth Meeting Church. We are a community of believers centered around Jesus and His gospel. You're about to listen to a live, raw recording of a message that was brought here. We hope it touches your mind and your heart. God bless.
The other day, Jess and I were having a splendid dinner, and we started talking about what would happen if there was a nuclear attack on U.S. soil. Specifically, somewhere on the Eastern Seaboard, New York City, Boston, Washington, D.C., and of course, Philadelphia. Maybe, perhaps, we don't need to worry about that because we'd be in the blast radius, I don't know. But what would we do if there's a nuclear attack? Assuming we had time to evacuate, where would we go? There are just many, many things that cause great stress and anxiety, fear. What is North Korea up to? When is the next terrorist attack? Not if, but when. Is there going to be an atomic bomb in my lifetime, knocking down an entire city? Is there going to be a massive blackout with the electronic grid? Hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, floods. There are just many, many world issues and events that just catch our attention. And the list goes on and on and on. From USA Today, about a year ago, this was published. They came out with America's top 10 fears. 60% of Americans fear that government officials are essentially corrupt. Okay. 41% of Americans fear terrorist attacks. About 40% fear not having enough money for the future. Okay, 38.5% being a victim of terror. You can see the list there. Do you identify with any of these fears? Are these concerns of yours? Okay, that last one is interesting. 35.5% fear Obamacare. And I guess that whole system and structure. And this was from a year ago. I wonder if this is, you know, the same today. I'm not sure. But we have a wide variety of fears, things that strike up fear, spark fear inside of us. And, of course, we have phobias, too. A phobia is like it's fear beyond fear. Okay, it's an anxiety disorder, perhaps, if it's a chronic issue in your life. The top phobias in the world, we have arachnophobia, which is the fear of spiders. Ophidiophobia, which is the fear of snakes. Anybody here afraid of spiders and or snakes? Right? Acrophobia, which is afraid of heights, a fear of heights. Agoraphobia, which is the fear of either wide open spaces and or crowded spaces, like markets and malls. You're afraid to go outside. Agoraphobia. Okay. And of course, we have the phobias that are just really weird and bizarre. I won't say their technical term, but there's like the fear of the color of yellow, the fear of cheese, the fear of clowns, the fear of beards, right? I hope nobody has that, because I'm trying to grow it out. I try this every fall, trying to grow out my beard just to see what happens, you know. See how far I can go. So I hope nobody has a fear of beards. A minor fear that I have, it's not a phobia, but grocery stores they're out of control, some of them. They have so many products, and at the end of the aisle, the end cap, they just load it up with stuff. I'm afraid that I'm going to be coming around an aisle, coming around the corner, and somebody's going to cruise and smash right into me and, like, take out a knee, you know? I survived 7 years of football, but, like, I'm afraid of, like, tearing an ACL, you know, because of a shopping cart attack, right? We all have these little fears inside of us, big fears inside of us. When I was a child, I was extremely fearful of this thing called the rapture, right? It tormented me, really. And we could spend all day just listing things in this world that cause fear inside of us. But that's not what we're going to do. We're going to turn to the Word of God. Today we have a topical message on fear. We're taking a break from the Gospel of Mark this week and next week. When we hit October 1st, we'll be back to the Gospel according to Mark. But today we're going to turn to the Word of God. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. And to be clear, this sermon is on fear. It's not on anxiety. And as a disclaimer, I am not a mental health professional. So in advance, I apologize if I say anything that's edgy. Okay. About 19 times in the New Testament, we hear Jesus say, "Fear not, don't be afraid," things like that. All right. Jesus tells us, straight from his tongue, he tells us, do not be afraid, do not fear. Okay, so what is fear? Is it a sin? Is it a sin? No. Fear is an emotion. Just like anger, sadness, admiration, okay? It is an emotion. It's built inside of us. In the Bible, there's what I call positive fear and negative fear, or perhaps godly fear or unholy fear. Fear can, in the negative sense, can carry the meaning of a sense of terror and alarm. You know, it's bad news bears kind of stuff. But it can also mean a sense of awe and worship. So in the positive context, God is usually the object of fear. You know, like when we say the fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord. And, Lord, the sense when we say the fear of the Lord, the sense seems to be about awe, respect, having a reverential respect for God. So the fear of the Lord, it's not to be confused with like terror and alarm, at least not in every context there. So having a fear of the Lord, this reverential respect, like being in awe of the Creator Almighty God, it's actually commended and commanded in the Bible. We should have a healthy dose, a healthy fear of the Lord. It's described as like the hatred of evil. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a treasure to the saints. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of youth. In Romans 11, Paul, he says, do not be arrogant, but fear, as in have this fear of the Lord in you. So like in that little example in Romans 11, the cure for arrogance and being conceited is getting a good dose of the fear of the Lord in you. It's a positive thing. All right. Don't be arrogant, but be in awe of the Almighty God, the God who gives you life, the God who takes it away. So the fear of the Lord is a positive thing. However, it's usually in a negative context when we talk about fear. Okay? A negative context or ungodly fear. And this is where we talk about having a sense of alarm, being terrified. Okay? The fear of death, the fear of rejection, having no money, getting a bad diagnosis, fear of the dark, war, loneliness. There are just many, many fears that grip our hearts. In the Bible, there's examples of where fearing false gods and idols, fearing man. We fear judgments. We fear future punishment, perhaps. In the Bible, it also talks about this unholy fear, this negative fear, this scary kind of fear. It's described as overwhelming and consuming. Okay? And then the Bible actually is loaded with stories of fear, examples about fear. And actually, I would go on as far as to say that fear is a main character in the Bible. You know, it's not personified, but you know, it's there. It's a main thing in the Bible. Fear. It's something that we all face. Okay, it's something we all face. So where does it come from? Where does it come from? Fear became a problem the day Adam sinned. Okay? It only takes 66 verses, I counted, 66 verses in the Bible until we're introduced to fear. In Genesis 3:10. Okay? Adam sinned, and then he went off and hid. Okay? And in Genesis 3:10, Adam is explaining to God why he is hiding. Adam says to God, he says, "I'm afraid." Is Adam afraid of God? No, it actually says Adam is afraid because he is naked. Now that sin is in our human hearts, okay, when the Bible teaches sin entered our hearts when Adam and Eve sinned, okay, now that sin is inside of us, that inner peace that we had is now replaced with fear. Adam felt shame. He's afraid. Okay, so now in the garden, Adam and Eve, they lived completely naked. Okay? Completely physically naked. And as Hebrews 2:7 teaches us, they were crowned with glory and honor. And so one thing that I want you to kind of picture is like, yeah, they're naked, but they're clothed with glory. They're clothed with honor. Okay, there's this beautiful perfection about them. All right? When sin entered the world, when sin entered their heart, that worm got in there and it just misplaced and distorted everything. All because of sin. And guess what? That glory that we once had in the garden is gone. That glory that we long for, you know, until we get to heaven and, you know, the glorified body that awaits us, you know, we are hungry for that. What was taken away in the garden, we look forward to. But back then, Adam and Eve, the glory that once clothed them is gone. And now they realize that they are without. They are naked. Adam is afraid because he is naked. And the point is, fear makes us feel naked. Like we are without. Okay? And I believe this understanding of nakedness, this first example of fear in the Bible, this feeling of being bare, it's very significant to understanding fear. And this is why I named the sermon Naked Fear. Okay? So imagine you have this heart. It's perfect. But what sin has done is that it's drilled holes right through your heart. Okay? It's making holes in your heart. And fear, this emotion, is going to, you know, take advantage and utilize these holes that sin has drilled into there. Fear reminds us every day that your heart is imperfect, that your heart has holes in it. Fear reminds us that we are lacking something, that we are naked in some way, that we are without, that we are not at peace. The inner peace that we had in the garden is lost. But the good news is, we can have it back. We can. Hebrews 13:6 tells us that we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" All right? The Lord is my helper. I do not need to be afraid. I have Jesus. I have the good news. I am a person of the gospel. I do not need to be afraid. What can you do to me? Sin has riddled our hearts with holes, but the good news is we can look to Jesus as our helper. So in times of fear, absolutely, Jesus is there to deliver us. In 1 Peter 3:14, even if we have to suffer, Peter says, even if we have to suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. We look to Jesus in confidence. He is our helper. Okay, so we just talked about the first introduction to fear in Genesis 3:10. Let's take a look at the second time the Bible speaks of fear. God is speaking to Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. So God, just right in the middle of everything, he interrupts Abram's life. And he says, hey, the emotion of fear that you have, don't worry about it. Let it go. Let it go. Do not fear. I am your shield. You know, let fear dissipate. Just let it go. Don't fear. Don't be alarmed. And so our Heavenly Father knows us pretty well, right? Let me say that again. God knows us very, very well. He knows our hearts are plagued with sin and fear. And so that's why God immediately steps in and says, Abram, don't be afraid. Don't do it. Just let it go. Let it go. But then look at what God says next. He says, I am your shield. I am your shield. These are comforting words from our Father here. God is our shield. Remember, sin makes us feel like we're naked. Like we're without something. We're missing something in our life. And because of that, we're afraid. So can you imagine God is speaking to you? He interrupts your life. He breaks through into your life through a vision, per se, just like Abram. And you start to puff up with fear. You well up with perhaps anxiety. You get nervous, just like a little kid. Your eyes start to water up. You know, everything's just like about to get out of control. You're standing in the presence of God. He's singling you out. But he just says, hey, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I got you. I got your back. I got you. I'm protecting you. It's a promise. And I found this interesting. The same Hebrew word for shield is actually the same word used to describe the scaly armor of a crocodile. Okay, sin, fear makes us feel naked, but God is our shield. It's like he wraps us up in scaly armor. God promises to shield us. So that was an encounter with Abram and Abraham. And then, you know, actually many, many years later, as Abraham's family grew, God was then making a covenant with one of Abraham's descendants. God makes this conditional agreement with the Hebrews, with Abraham's family. God gives them his law, okay? And again, God knows us very, very well. God knows our hearts. And so God, he gives these commands, these statutes, to reveal to us, hey, you know, our hearts have holes in it. That's what the law did. It revealed to us that we're sinful. It reminded us that we have holes in our hearts. It convicted us. And it teaches us about God's holy standards. From Deuteronomy 28, here is the deal. This was a conditional agreement. And God is speaking to the Hebrews, God's people, God's family. He says, if you carefully obey my commands, I'm going to bless you. I am going to bless you. But the other side of that condition is, if you disobey, if you live in disobedience, there's going to be a curse. And actually, one of the things that comes from disobedience, a consequence of disobedience, is actually nakedness. Okay, this concept of being without. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:47-48 there. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking everything. I want you to see here. Here's the thing. Disobedience leads to bondage. Under the Old Testament conditions of the law, God rewarded his covenant family with protection. I am your shield. God spoke to his people. God himself would be their shield if they lived in obedience, if they trusted and obeyed God. And as New Testament Christians today, we don't live under the law. We live under grace. But the principle remains. All disobedience leads to bondage. Okay? Moving away from God, moving away from His principles and what He set out in Scripture, moving away from that leads us to some sort of slavery. The law was there to guide His people away from bondage and into blessing. Likewise, today, God's Holy Spirit, the gift that was given to us on the day of Pentecost, we have God's Holy Spirit. It's given to us to lead us away from slavery and into freedom. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You," that's you, "are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light." God is calling you away from slavery, away from the darkness. Journey with Him, grow in Him, be discipled, and walk, run into wonderful, marvelous light. So this is where we ask, is that me? Am I trusting God? Am I being obedient to the Spirit of Christ? When the Holy Spirit is nudging me to go a certain way, to say a certain thing, to make a change in my life, are we listening to those Holy Spirit nudges? Or are we ignoring that? Are we naked in our fear? Are we in bondage to it? Dr. Norman Spatz, he once wrote, "God knows our hearts and understands how crippling the emotion of fear can be. Many have been devastated by fear and have become a slave to it." And then he goes on to say, "For the born-again Christian, to fear indicates two things. Either he doesn't know what the Bible promises about victory over fear, or if he does know, he doesn't trust what God has promised." And to be honest, there are days where I'm in between those two options. I've experienced anxiety and panic attacks before. I've been fearful in my life. You know? It's a messy situation, but let me say that having anxiety and having panic attacks, that's not necessarily a reflection of lack of faith in your life. Okay, this is complicated, messy stuff. You can have a strong faith and still live with anxiety and fear. So let me just say that again. This stuff is heavy. This stuff is messy. But again, Norman Spatz, he says, either you don't know what the Bible promises about victory over fear, or if you do know, you don't trust what God has promised. We'll at least start there and try to identify which one are we if we're fearful. And so let's go to 1 John 4:18 to 19. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us." The greatest act of love of all time is when God sent His Son to die on the cross for us. God loves us, and He died for us. The sin that has drilled holes in our hearts, Jesus steps in and says, "Hey, I'm going to take that. You know, I want your heart. I'm going to give you a new one." And right there, that's deep. Don't miss that point. Who wants our heart? Jesus wants it. No matter how messed up it is, no matter how holy it is in terms of like holes, riddled with holes, no matter how disgusting your heart is, Jesus screams, "I want you. I want your heart. I'm going to give you a new one." Jesus died to make our heart whole. W-H-O-L-E. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Here's the point. It is at the cross of Christ where we're set free from our fears. And the good news of Jesus Christ is that we can and we will be set free when we go to the cross. We don't need to be naked and afraid. Through the Holy Spirit, we can clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. The little bit of glory and honor that residually we can get in our lifetime from Jesus Christ, it's there for us. We go to the cross, we surrender. Hey God, I have trust issues. I am disobedient. I know I doubt, but I'm at the cross, Lord. Here I am. You know, help me in my unbelief. Help me not to be fearful. All right? We need to go to the cross. He's beckoning us to come to him, to lay these things down. And he wants to just take that fear away. Shield us, right? Be that protection. To clothe ourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, right? We don't need to be slaves to fear anymore. Galatians 4:7 says, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." Now, that is just so beautiful right there. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm a child of God. You may have heard that on the radio recently. You're no longer a slave, but a child. Daddy is my shield. I am his child. How cool is that? God is my dad. My dad is my shield. I am his child. God is my shield. I am his child. North Korea, I'm not afraid of you. I'm a child of God. Terrorism, I'm not afraid of you. I'm a child of God. Financial collapse, I'm not afraid of you. I'm a child of God. Loneliness, depression, I hate you. I don't need to be afraid of you. I'm a child of God. Cancer, I'm not afraid of you. I'm a child of God. Past mistakes, I'm not afraid of you. I'm a child of God. Fear, you will no longer rob me of my energy. Fear, you will no longer rob me of my joy anymore. I am a child of God. Church, do you proclaim that? You know, you are a child of God, who is your shield. And what about the ultimate fear? The ultimate nakedness, you could say. When everything is taken away, what happens when our heart stops beating? Let me read to you what the Apostle John experienced. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades.'" The good news is that there is no fear that Jesus hasn't conquered. Even death, Jesus has that covered. Jesus conquered death. You don't need to be afraid of death. In Christ, we are made whole. In Christ, we are made alive. We don't need to be afraid of death. And they say, when you know how to die, then you know how to live. And Jesus Christ assures you right now, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So again, fear reveals to us that we're naked in some way. Metaphorically naked. There's something there that is gone, that is without. That, you know, fear makes us not at peace. A couple weeks ago, really not weeks ago, but just a good number of days ago, Jess and I had a cash flow issue. And it was like, yeah, there's money there, we're fine, God provides, but it was just like a cash flow issue. I had to, you know, borrow money from savings just to pay bills. And it was like, oh man, how did we get here? And again, it's like, looking big picture, we were fine. But still, it's like there was just this fearful blah. that builds up inside of you. It stinks, right? I'm your pastor, and let me tell you, I struggle with this stuff too. There is these unnecessary negative emotions that well up inside of us, right? But I stand here today to tell you that, you know what, that inner peace that was taken away from me in the garden, I know that I can have it back in Christ Jesus. And I don't have all the answers, but there are two things that I just want to close with, two points that are just so important to me that you know, okay? One, you're not alone. You are not alone. And two, healing probably and often is very messy, and it can be drawn out, right? I didn't just be like, okay, I'm done theory, and it went away. No, it was a couple days worth of processing through this stuff. But you know what? I did my best to be strong for Jess, to be strong and go to the cross. Actually weak, because in my weakness, he was made strong, made me strong. But like, it's a process. So again, you're not alone in your fear and your anxiety and your panic attacks. That's the one thing that the devil wants to make you aware of, you know. He wants to make you think that you're alone. You're not alone. And two, it is messy. And I encourage you to invite others into that journey so that you can process this messy thing, this messy emotion. So at this time, we're not ready for the closing hymn yet. But I want to, you know, we're Evangelical Congregational Church. That's our name. Evangelical. We are people of the good news, right? We believe in the good news. We believe in grace. We are about grace here, okay? Congregational. Maybe another word we could put in there is family. We are a family of the good news. And right here, right in front of the stage here, before this table, I just want to, if there's anybody who just wants to come up and get prayer, we're just going to have one blanket prayer. If you're struggling with fear, if there is something just in your life, you know, we don't need to put it on a billboard and it, you know, put it out there right now, but just come forward if you want prayer. Come forward. We're going to lay hands on each other and pray. We're going to ask the Lord to be our helper, to be our shield, our place of freedom. We want to reform our fear back into faith.